All righty.
Matthew 20, verse 520. So I say unto you, that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. So what is Jesus saying that he wants? Righteousness. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become what? The righteousness of God in him. Now, there's one of the reasons that Jesus came, as far as the gospel is concerned, is not to call us to happiness, but to what? Righteousness. Second thing that we have to understand, and you will not hear about this much out of modern day pulpits, because it's almost as it's offensive, because we have been taught so much that God is love and only love. But let's look at this. Let no one deceive you with empty words, as Ephesians 5:6. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Those who are without Christ receive His justice, or His wrath. 1 Thessalonians 1:9. For they themselves declare concerning us what manner of entry we had to you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, who what? Delivers us from what? The wrath to come. So we understand now that Jesus calls us to righteousness, but the purpose of His coming was to save us from the wrath that was to come. 1 John 4:9. In this, the love of God was manifested towards us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world that we may live through Him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and He sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. We're going to talk about that in just a moment. It says, but now the righteous, look at Romans, now the righteousness of God, apart from the law, is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. There it is again, righteousness. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by His blood through faith, to demonstrate His righteousness, there that is again, because in His forbearance God has passed over the sins that were previously committed, to demonstrate at the present time His righteousness, that He might be the just and justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Now let's talk about that word propitiation. It's a theological term. This is basically what it means. The turning away of wrath by an offering. Who was our offering? It turned away God's wrath against sin. Human sin receives its due reward not because of some impersonal retribution, but because God's wrath is directed against it. How many do believe that God hates sin? He does. He hates it. In fact, it tells us in the Scripture that He doesn't even, His eyes are too pure to even behold sin. When sin came upon Jesus Christ on the cross, you remember what Jesus cried out? My God, why have You what? Forsaken me. Why? The sins of the world had come upon Him. God turned. But understood that Jesus was taking our place, bearing our wrath that was intended for us. He became the offering for us. Because God, nothing has changed. God still hates sin because He's perfectly righteous. So, let's look at I just want to tell you about this quote. It says, the world has no idea of the nature of sin. It is a potent and irresistible magnet for the justice of Almighty God. That people without Christ live under the avalanche, think about this, live under the avalanche of wrath. Picture that you're skiing. How many of y'all have been skiing before? Do y'all ski? Okay. I used to. back when I was much younger. And so you go underneath and you come up on the mountain and you have this little area and you perhaps you have this big, huge crest of ice and snow that are kind of just sticking out. You go up underneath it and you go, man, this is such a neat little shelter from the snow and from the wind. But you really don't realize that that huge crest, that huge covering, is only held by a little thin piece of ice. And as the sun comes out, it begins to melt the ice, and yet you're up underneath there camped and saying, isn't this exciting to be here? What are you under? You're about to be under about 90 feet of snow, is what happens. And people without Christ, the lost person, says the things of the Spirit. In Corinthians, it says the things of the Spirit are foreign to him. The natural man does not understand that he is under wrath. I was trying to find a clip for you because I like to be visual. You know, I'm a visual learner. I don't know about you, but I visualize things. I learn. That's the best way for me to learn. When someone starts explaining, if May had said, you know, we really could get this working if you would do this and do this and do whatever like this, and I'm sure that she was right, but you know what I'd have to have her do? Could you draw me a picture so that I could understand how that works? So I was going to bring in a clip from one of my favorite movies called Spencer's Mountain. Have you ever seen Spencer's Mountain? No one's ever seen it? Okay, most some of you seen it. There's a scene in there. It's with Henry Fonda. They're up on this mountain over there called Spencer's Mountain. And it's the guy, I can't remember his name, his son, he was Dano on Hawaii Five-O. You remember Hawaii Five-O? Welcome, Dano. Well, that was, who was it?
What? James MacArthur.
James MacArthur, okay. He was his son. And it's all about their town and about him getting to go off to college and he's going to be able to do this. And it's a real neat little thing. Well, there was this big, huge tree up on the mountain that Henry Fonda had been working on, chopping this thing down. I mean, it was one of those big, huge, wonderful things. His father, who was something 90-something years old, was out in the field. And he was up there chopping. And he didn't realize that his father was out in the field. And all of a sudden, that thing snapped. It started coming down. He'd gone through it. And he looks at his work. He'd been working on this thing for weeks. And he looks at it, and all of a sudden he looks down, and he sees his father out in the path of that tree. And the father doesn't know, because he's kind of deaf, he had just picked something up out of the field and was hollering for his son, saying, I found it, I found it, I found it, and kept walking towards the fallen tree, not realizing he was in the path of the tree. And it shows in the scene, it comes down, hits him. Henry Fonda's running, it gets him too. He doesn't hurt him as bad, but it kills the man instantly. He breaks every bone in his body, it says, as they carry him off the mountain. Now, with lost people, guess what? They don't realize they're underneath that falling wrath of God. They don't understand it. Because it's not understandable to them. Romans 3 said there's no one good. There is no one who understands. That's why we have a message. Not a wonderful life message. But we have a message to say, folks, you are called to righteousness and also to be saved from the wrath of God. Do you not understand that if you were to die tonight, you would suffer in hell? That's the message that we have to get out and understand. R.C. Sproul said this, and I'll quit. It's 9:45. Jesus doesn't save us to God. He saves us from God. So that we'd have a relationship with God. And he also stated this, there's probably no concept in theology more repugnant to modern America than the idea of divine wrath. Isn't that true? Talk about God's wrath and anger against sin, and people go, no. God is what?
Love.
You know, we all hold hands and sing kumbaya, right? And go home. No. God's justice, God's love demands justice also. God's righteousness demands justice. And there will be a price to pay. Let's take a break and we'll come back in and we're going to learn about the law. And this next session, we're going to be watching a majority of it for about 20 to 25 minutes of it. We're going to be watching Kirk Cameron and Ray Comfort describe the law and the purpose of the law. Then we're going to go through it. And then when we come back in the third session, we're going to teach you a way, and you're going to be interactive now in the third session, teach you a way how to move when you're talking to people and the things you've learned, how to move in sharing from the natural to the spiritual. How to strike up a natural conversation and then move to the spiritual and what you can say once we get there. So then on Sunday morning, hope you come back for Sunday morning, we're going to put into practice about how do we speak to someone using the law. And we get to practice on one another on Sunday morning, okay, about those things. So it's going to be a fun time. So take a break, and we'll be back in here in just a few minutes.